Sunday, Father's Day, and of course that means U.S. Open golf. And it was a really exciting tournament, beautifully played out at Pebble Beach, and Gary Woodland over Brooks Koepka in a very exciting finish. To talk about it, we bring in Mark Canisero from the New York Post out there in God's country, Pebble Beach, California. Hey, Mark, how are you?
I'm doing great, Laurie. Thanks.
All right, so give me your headline for tomorrow's New York Post on this tournament.
Wow. All right. Well, you mean like our creative headline writer headline? I don't think I compete with that.
What's your lead? You know, obviously it's about Gary Woodland over Brooks Koepka, but what's your focus in terms of you know, what's the story going to be about?
I'd say maybe a good headline would be Slam Dunk, because the column that I wrote for tomorrow was, you know, Gary, his first love is basketball. He played college hoop at Washburn University and kind of had this come-to-Jesus moment his freshman year at Washburn. They played against the University of Kansas at Allen Fieldhouse. And Gary quickly realized, these guys are a lot better than I am. I'm not going to be able to make a living doing this. And he transferred after his freshman year to Kansas, where he wanted to go in the first place to play basketball, but there was a golf scholarship that he had turned down that they had kept open for him at Kansas. So he went to Kansas, played golf, and the rest is history. So I think it's, you know, that's really the cool element to the story with Gary. He's a good guy. I know him pretty well. He's just kind of one of those good guys on tour. And you know, the cool thing about it is he's always been known, Laurie, as one of these, long, you know, the big long bomber drivers.
Right.
And, you know, if you watched this week and, you know, particularly today, and you saw some of the things he did with his short game and his putting yesterday and today, it just showed you how complete his game is, and that, you know, he's not a one-trick pony anymore. And, it would, you know, listen, this guy stabbed off. I mean, you know, I don't think there's anybody that was watching television that didn't think that Brooks Koepka was going to overtake him at some point.
Right.
I mean, Koepka's been an absolute terminator. He's been a machine for a couple of years now, and you know, he shot 3 under par today and didn't even have his best stuff. So you know if you look at the body of work today, you know Woodland had started the day, he's got seven times in his career at a 54 hole lead and couldn't complete the job, so that was kind of hanging over his head. And you got Koepka right in the mix, you got Justin Rose, who's been playing really well, and obviously a former U.S. Open winner. Rory was in the hunt. And then a couple of guys made some runs. You know, Adam Scott made a run off the board, and Gary never flinched. So, you know, all credit to him. And, you know, as I said, I think the lead to my main news story was that the right man won. I mean, he played better than everybody else from start to finish this week.
Yeah, you mentioned, so we've got a first-time major champion winner, and he did stave off. You know, Brooks Koepka had a chance at history, had won 2 in a row, was trying to become only the second man to win 3 U.S. Opens in a row. So Gary Woodland had lost, you know, 7 times he had the 54-hole lead in a tournament, and 7 times he had lost coming into Sunday. What was it, you know, what do you think, what did he think made the difference on Sunday? Why? I mean, it some of this has to be mental and mental toughness, but, you know, to finally break through under the most pressure-packed circumstances in a major tournament?
Yeah, I mean, it's multifold, and it's absolutely mental. But, you know, physically, you know, he's gone to Butch Harmon was his coach, you know, for a long time, and Butch actually suggested this guy Pete Cowan, who is a really serious short game guru, to kind of help Gary with his short game, and so that's been a huge deal. He also went to this putting guru named Pete Kenyon, who works with a lot of the European Tour players, and has completely changed Gary's putting outlook and result. So on the physical end, there was that, but on the mental end, you know, Gary talked a lot in the last couple of days about kind of learning how to slow things down. And I talked to his dad afterward on 18 when Gary finished up, and his father said, you know, he's never seen Gary look the way he looked today. He said it was kind of an odd little anecdote, but he said, I've never seen Gary walk around a golf course with his hands in his pockets. You know, so, you know, kind of like he's just kind of strolling down the street. So, you know, maybe that was one of Gary's little, you know, kind of ticks to, you know, to try to keep himself relaxed and calm and slow down. And Gary spoke a lot about, you know, his philosophy really being, he knew he was going to be nervous. Obviously, he was very, very transparent about that 0-for-7, 54-hole lead thing. He said, look, I knew what the numbers were. You know, everybody was reminding me. But, you know, he said, I really was determined to, you know, embrace the nervousness and the whole atmosphere. And he played like he did. I mean, he had some really good shots. I mean, even in a couple of moments where, you know, I think I was on 16, you know, he hit a beautiful drive on 16, ends up in a divot. You know, a lot of guys mm-hmm. would be like, oh, yeah. Woe's me. I can't believe this, you know. And, you know, he stuffed one right in the middle of the green with, you know, without even blinking. So, it's a twofold thing, but mental, this stuff is always so mental because all of these guys have the physical skills to do these things, you know. It really comes down to how you can control your nerves and whatnot. And he did it better than everybody else.
Yeah. Talking to Mark Canisero from the Post about the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach. And, you know, as you said earlier, I think a lot of us who were watching, certainly me watching on TV, I thought Brooks Koepka, especially with the way he started on the front nine, I thought he was going to overtake. And what, you know, for you, what was the turning point as you were watching that you felt, all right, I think Gary Woodland's really going to do this?
Oh, well, Lori, without question, and I was out there walking the back nine with him, there's no question in my mind the turning point, the moment of the tournament for me was on 14, which is a par 5. It was a one-shot lead at that point, and Gary hit a pipe to drive, mm-hmm. and he was kind of in the go zone. You know, it was like one of those things where he could lay up and just play conservatively, play a three-shot hole and just get on the middle of the green and make a par. His caddy implored him to take. He said, you know what? He goes, I think this is 3-wood all the way. You're hitting the ball great. You know, if you lay up to a wedge, it's, you know, it's no automatic. You're going to get par there. And, you know, he kind of empowered Woodland to hit that 3-wood. Gary said it was probably the best shot he hit all day. Ran it right up under the green. It was just off the left edge, maybe 18 feet away. And, you know, he got up and down for birdie over there, gave himself a 2-shot lead. And it was really, I'm not saying it was over at that point, but that was the moment. That was the seize the moment, so to speak. And then on 17, you know, he kind of came out of his tee shot and left it way over on the right side.
Yeah.
17 is kind of this really hourglass green. Mm-hmm. He could not have been any further away. He's got to go over a ridge.
Yep.
Now, any other candy-ass player like myself, take a putter out, keep it on the ground, okay? He's over there. I'm looking at the guy. I'm like, okay, you got a 2-shot lead. I get it, but at that point now, Brooks is now on playing 18 and could possibly eagle 18. Mm-hmm. He doesn't know what's going on up ahead. And, you know, if he eagles 18, it's a tie ball game. And he takes Sandwedge out, and he didn't even flop it. He kind of pinched it and hit just a little kind of a low runner that you know, put the brakes on just perfectly to about 18 inches. And that was it. I mean, that, you know, you have a 2-shot lead on 18, you know, unless you completely implode and slap one left into the ocean. You're gonna win the tournament. So that was it. It was 14 was really the moment, and 17 was the clincher.
Now, obviously, the story of the tournament is going to be, and rightfully so, Gary Woodland and hit, you know, breaking through and winning a major. But Woodland's day, you know, is not as noteworthy if he doesn't have the best player in the world chasing him, and so. You know, Brooks Koepka, what does it say about him and his game that he shoots 4 rounds in the 60s and, you know, and loses?
Yeah. I am no less impressed with Koepka in the second place runner-up mm-hmm. effort than I would be had he won today. Just the fact that he was there. He hit a few hard shots, you know, kind of, you know, it was a little chink in the armor, I guess. He didn't have his best stuff today. But even then, he shot 3 under par, you know, and you know, was right there. I mean, if it's not for Woodland, you know, clutching up, really, you know, which he very well, you know, anything can happen to these, you know, these things. You know, one bad hole, a double bogey, or whatever. So, to me, regardless of Gary's win today, there is no question in my mind that that Koepka is, you know, even further cemented himself as the best player playing right now, without question, the last couple of years. And, you know, if anybody doesn't think he's the favorite, you know, going in the British Open in, you know, next month, then they're not paying much attention.
I actually was going to ask you a couple questions along those lines, which is that to me, the game is in such good hands right now. And I think with Brooks Koepka as the number one player in the world and based on his track record in majors, this did nothing to me to set that back, is that the game is at its most fun when there, I believe, when there is that dominant player that everybody is shooting for, that everybody is elevating their game because you have to be great to beat him. And, you know, for years, of course, that was Tiger. But for a little bit of time, maybe that was Spieth. But really, Brooks Koepka is doing something right now that strikes me that is good for the game and by far the dominant number one player.
There's no question. I mean, listen, it was for all these years, it was Tiger, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, obviously that was compelling. And, you know, Tiger's a different animal, so to speak, no pun intended. But, you know, I mean, listen, if Brooks has four last four majors, he's won two and finished runner-up in the other two. I mean,
right.
It's crazy. You know, those are Tiger Woods numbers.
Yep.
And so, yeah, I mean, listen, I know there is no chink in his armor in terms of, you know, I don't think this sets him back. He talked about it afterwards. But look, I did what I could. I mean, Gary played great. More power to him, you know. But he's, you know, I shot 3 under par on a Sunday in a U.S. Open. You know, I mean, that's nothing to sneeze at. You know, so he's not going home stung by this loss, so to speak. Like he left something, you know, out on the golf course. I think I agree with you. It's interesting. Tiger, you know, we all thought Tiger after he won the Masters was, you know, on the march to the 16th major. You know, he misses the cut at Bethpage, and obviously just kind of was just hung around this week, didn't really do that much. It was kind of a weird week for him. Didn't play terribly, but he didn't really do much. It'll be interesting to see, you know, how, and the other thing with Tiger, he's going to do the same thing, I believe, although he never tells us, but I'm quite certain he's not going to play again between now and the British Open, which is what he did between the Masters and the PGA, and he was clearly rusty at Bethpage. So I don't think that's, you know, personally, he knows better than I, because he's, you know, the greatest player on the planet, but I just don't think that's a good way to go. So it'll be interesting to see what he has in the tank, when they get to Royal Portrush in July.
Yeah, from what you know of Royal Portrush, as you said, you're picking Brooks Koepka as the favorite there. But in terms of how the course sets up or shapes up, is there something about it that would shape up well for somebody's game?
You know, I'm a believer, Lori, that if guys are on form like Koepka is right now, any course shapes up for his game or her game, depending on what the tournament is. I've played Portrush a number of years ago, and it is a spectacular place. It's in my top three of all time that I've ever stepped foot on. I mean, wait till you see the vistas on TV at this place. It is awesome.
Yeah, I actually was saying earlier, I was in Ireland a year ago in May and played right nearby there. Portrush was actually, there was a lot of construction going on, not surprisingly, as they were kind of building towards the Open. But I saw, I mean, on a clear day, you can see Scotland.
Yes, it is. It is amazingly beautiful a place. The interesting thing about it, in fact, I just happened to be talking, I'm taking the media shuttle back to the parking lot with an Irish colleague of mine, Irish journalist, and because he was actually, as they say in Europe, he was fancying Molinari, because fairways are paramount there. You're going to be in that fescue and all that stuff. And, you know, it's not a crazy long golf course, I don't believe. And, but the interesting thing about that is it is a quote unquote links golf course, but there's a lot of tabletop elevated greens, so there's not a lot of run ups to the greens like a lot of these, you know, links courses have. So, I don't really know, you know, who to favor other than who I think is playing the best. And frankly, I mean, I don't know how you can bet against
Brooks,
you know, Koepka.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just so good. Yeah. You know, I mean, the interesting thing this week, Lori, this is not a long golf course. You know, this is as short a golf course as the PGA Tour, you know, it has. I mean, they were playing 7,000, 7,100 yards. I mean, I play that sometimes, when, you know, playing someplace.
Yeah.
So, you know, you would think that Woodland, you know, the long guy or Koepka, it's not necessarily an advantage. But these guys are playing so well, it doesn't matter.
All right. Mark Canisero, appreciate the time. Catch up with you soon.
Thanks, Lori.